If you're looking to increase your squatting strength, repeatability, and also build some quality aerobic conditioning, then going through some air bike and squat progressions could be a great option for you. So let's go over the example you're seeing now if you're watching on YouTube, and then I'll kind of back up and explain who this is appropriate for and like what time in their season might be a good idea to implement this type of training. What you're seeing now, myself and Riley go through is a 25-minute air bike, the whole thing being at 60 to 70% effort, and the 5, 10, 15, and 20-minute marks, we're getting off the bike and doing 5 front squats between 70 and 75% of our 1 rep max. So for me, I'm squatting at 245, and Riley is at 205, I believe, which tells you who's a much stronger front squatter. So this progression here is what I call a squat-interrupted air bike. The Fitness Movement is brought to you by Zor Fitness. We offer coaching and individualized program design, as well as educational content for coaches and athletes. It's all at one place, zorfitness.com. So why might you use this kind of protocol? Well, if you think about it, if you have someone and they're talking and they keep getting interrupted as they're going through their words or breaking up like in a Zoom call, it's really annoying and it's quite disruptive. So generally, we are wired to kind of track, follow, and sort of optimize our physiology to a single task at a time. So for example, if you're doing endurance biking, you're going to have steady blood flow to the limbs. You're going to have this nice flow of blood into and out of the muscle, and your body will optimize to make that happen. So you are going to shunt blood away from the upper body and close off a lot of those blood vessels. You're going to open up the blood vessels in the legs. And then you're just going to increase your cardiac output to support that particular goal, right? Of being able to sustain power on the bike. So that's obviously all well and good, but in our sport, you don't get that a lot. So if you are forced to stop biking and do a challenging set of front squats, for example, that's a way to introduce a unique challenge to the athlete and their system in a way that is contextualized to CrossFit in the sport of CrossFit. And that's a good chunk of the athletes that we work with and coach are CrossFit athletes. Athletes are required to regulate tension effectively, to manipulate their breathing and control their blood pressure in a way that allows them to go through those squats successfully while still producing meaningful power on the bike. So who is this best for? I would say this is best for an athlete who is maybe transitioning out of an off-season based phase and they're looking to get a little bit more sport-specific squatting capacity. Because more often than not, again, athletes who are in the sport of CrossFit, if they're asked to lift in a CrossFit workout or immediately after a CrossFit workout, there's at least some level of fatigue in the system. So it's important that athletes know how to produce tension and can still manipulate and operate under heavy loads with good sound technique while they have fatigue accumulated in their system. So if we have an athlete and they've been doing more unfatigued, high tension squatting in more of an off-season phase where they're trying to drive up their squatting strength or maybe their 1RMs, and let's say maybe they're doing that twice per week, then maybe as we approach their competitive season, we pull out one of those strength touches per week and we introduce something like this onto that particular day where they're getting one squat strength focused session and then another session where it could be more like I mentioned before, it was like squat strength capacity while you're building some of the other slightly lower but still very important strength qualities because it'll have carryover to the sport. So why might you want to focus on having this like more fatigue strength capacity? Again, I think for people who are in CrossFit, they probably understand this intuitively, but additionally, I would say this can, it helps act as a foundational to higher intensity battery work down the line, and just giving them some important exposures of task switching, like I mentioned before, where you're asked to be interrupted from the bike to go back to the squats. So that's one thing, is this sort of acting as a foundation for more battery type efforts to come in more speed strength environments, so like the Olympic lifts in particular. And then B, I would say this is acting as supporting strength work on a secondary leg day, which I mentioned before. It's like a great way to transition somebody out of just like straight off-season mode and be introducing higher levels of fatigue. Again, there's a number of different progressions that we could put an athlete through. Not all as intense as the one that Riley and I are going through, but then others more intense than the ones that we're going through because this is still sub-maximal work for us. So as you go through this process, you just got to keep that in the back of your mind. Also, if we have an athlete in there, maybe a highly proficient squatter, if that's the case for somebody, but yet they lack squat endurance, progression like this is something that you could run in a pre-competition phase that will allow them to maintain basically all their strength qualities while also driving a lot more of those endurance qualities into that pattern. So there's been four ways historically that I've typically used this type of squatting and air bike work for my athletes. And what you're seeing Riley and I go through is one piece in a progression that would be like one of the four, right? So this is just a very small snapshot of what this could look like for an athlete. Mind you, I would also say that this could be front squat or back squat, depending on what you're looking to get out of it and what qualities in particular you're trying to drive or what stimulus you're trying to give the athlete, as well as you could sub out another erg for the air bike. So for example, you could obviously do, you know, something as simple as like a bike erg, where it's just a slightly different stimulus, or you could go off to like a rower or ski erg, but I would encourage people to stick with low eccentric modalities. So erg-based things versus like running or something, which is really going to pound up the legs a lot. Typically what I would think about if I was using front squat, it's going to be more sport specific. It's going to have more carryover things like cleans, but then also it requires more trunk stiffness, where the breathing and the bracing is going to be probably a bigger component of it if you're operating at similar 1RMs to back squat in terms of like a percentage. And then if you want to use back squat, it's going to overload the legs and just have higher absolute loads. So it just kind of depends what you want. So let's go through one potential week or snapshot in each of those types of progressions. Again, I have four that I'm going to go through, and I've ordered them in the way that's sort of least metabolically taxing on the legs to most metabolically taxing. So starting with squat strength with very little cyclical power produced, all the way up to a Metcon and a rounds per time environment that has squatting based on percentage. So my first example, front squat, 5 sets of 4 reps, 75 to 80%, resting 4 minutes between those sets, with the first 2 minutes of that rest being on the air bike. So here, just the way that it's worded and the way that you can see that it's very squat forward is the fact that the air bike really is an afterthought, is not nearly as much of a significant component. It's more so like you're flushing out the legs in between those sets, and you're just starting to introduce a little bit of respiratory activity in between those sets of squats. The next example is the one that you're seeing Riley and I do now, 25-minute air bike at 60 to 70% effort. At 5, 10, 15, and 20-minute marks, you're getting off and doing 5 front squats between 70 and 75%. Again, this one you can see is now air biking first, right? So that's like the start, and it's got an effort across the whole thing, which the other one obviously doesn't. So again, it's more air bike forward. The conditioning side of it is being elevated, and as a result, the squats are more of an afterthought or more of a interruption, as I mentioned before. Next example, it would be more of an interval-based example. 4 sets, 20-calorie air bike, 5 front squats between 66 and 70%, rest 1 to 3 between sets. So for example, if someone's heard of a 1-to-1 work rest ratio before, you'd work for a minute, you rest for a minute, right? In this case, if the sets take somebody a minute and 10 seconds, they're going to rest 3 minutes and 30 seconds between. So they're resting 3 times as long as they're working. And then you'll repeat that 4 total times, 20-calorie air bike, 5 front squats, 66 to 70%. And then our final example would be like an example of a Metcon that has squatting strength endurance built into it. So again, this would be something that I might convert to a just like a raw number if I'm actually giving this to an athlete, or I could just leave it as percentage work. 3 rounds per time at 85 to 90% efforts, 35-calorie air bike, 8 front squats at 60 to 62% without a rack. So basically you're having to clean the first rep off the floor and then going into your set of front squats. Those are all examples. You can see how the intention behind what you're doing shifts as the language shifts, as the way that the workouts are written also changes. And then likewise, you're going to see as someone gets closer to the competitive season, you're probably going to see more things that resemble interval work or like Metcons. And then as you're further away from that and more of the off-season mode, you're going to do things that are more so driving up strength without the presence of fatigue at all. So maybe not even a resting on the air bike between. Likely you're just doing squat progressions where you're just resting in between and resting to a very good recovery. Again, as soon as we start blending this, you're not going to get that true strength work, that top end stuff. So you probably still need a touch of that at some point, unless you're someone who's already got a surplus of leg strength, but for everybody else having a touch of it. So maybe you build to a heavy single or a heavy pause single or a heavy double or something like that, and then go into a progression like this would be a good way to get some of the best of both worlds. Last thing I'll say in these types of progressions, obviously there is high interference, meaning that you are using your quads and your legs to drive both movements And it's just whether it's higher or lower tension. But you can do that similar type of thing for a number of different progressions. And for me, I've done that for various types of hinging movements as well. For example, I've done pieces or progressions that have rowing and deadlifts where like the focus is more like time under tension on like the posterior chain, like especially the hamstrings. I might even have those be performed at like a tempo deadlift where the eccentric has a certain number of seconds assigned to it, maybe a 2 or 3 second lower. That way people are actually getting time under tension for their hamstrings, which is really uncommon in the sport of fitness. Or we might have something that's like more like rowing into like a hinging battery works example, which might be like rowing into power cleans, rest and repeat, that sort of battery work where it's more on the speed strength end of the spectrum. And then I've also done like ski erg and deadlifts where you're still moving through a hinging pattern in the ski, but it's not loaded. Like you're loading in the hip flexion part of it or the core compression side of things. You're not loading on the return part of the stroke. So it's sort of the same pattern, but very complementary in that way, because you're not actually being loaded as you're coming back up. So you're still having that bending pattern, but it's not being heavily taxed like it would be in something like rowing. So there's obviously many different ways that you could use the type of tool. But for me as a coach, that's most often how I combine air bike and heavy squats. Thanks for listening today. If you're someone who just started listening to the show, I would encourage you to subscribe so you can stay up to date. If you're someone who's been listening for a while, I would encourage you to rate and review the show. And lastly, the best thing that you can do to support our work is also the best thing that you can do for your performance. And that is by hiring one of our coaches. Until next time, stay the course.